Yo, 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 what's good, what's good? It's your boy B. Barnes. This is the Gentleman's Guide Podcast, where we seek to unpack manhood one day at a time. We are finally back again. I done took a little sabbatical.
Yes, sir.
Had a little vacation. Visited Detroit with the fam.
How was vacation, bro?
It was good, bro. It was good. It was nice seeing a new city. I've never been to Detroit before.
It's love, bro.
Gabby had some family up there, so who's known? They showed it was great hospitality. Yes, beautiful city, by the way.
Okay.
I think Detroit gets a lot of flack for a lot of different things, but overall, I feel like most of the spirit of the city gets missed, especially for people who had never been,
right?
Because it's the blackest city in America. That I did not know.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Did not know. Bro, it's, you go to the bad parts, the good parts, it's majority black people.
Yes,
and it's something I had never seen before.
That's what I like.
So that it was dope. So shout out to Detroit, man.
Yeah, man. Drop a bomb for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, drop a bomb. Got it. So hot takes today. We're gonna start with doing? Pet peeves?
Let's do pet peeves.
All right, pet peeves. What's one of your biggest pet peeves?
I got a few, man. I think one of my biggest pet peeves, we were just talking about it earlier, man, just pulling into a parking spot. When you're in a parking lot,
uh-huh,
and somebody has an empty parking spot in front of them and they don't pull all the way through the parking spot, they uh-huh just stop at that first parking. That's a big pet peeve. Why not just pull in?
Pull forward.
Okay. Pull in the parking spot.
Okay.
Just pull it. Why do people leave that parking spot empty at first instead of like they stop at that first parking spot? That's a huge pet peeve of mine, bro.
So I understand, because I think before we started recording, we were talking about I was like, I understand the logic of pulling in and pulling all the way through.
Yeah.
Or pulling in and stopping. Some people just, to me, that's not a big deal. It depends on the context. So if the parking space or the parking lot is not super packed, that means you can see, rows, you can see a lot of spaces, holes in the parking lot. I can understand why somebody would back out. You know what I'm saying?
Pull all the way through, though.
But so you're saying initially when you're parking.
Yep, we pull all the way
that's
through.
That's fair. I mean, that's fair. It's not a big deal to me, but I understand the logic. Like, yeah. I get it. You know what I'm saying?
That's a big-ass peg piece. Like, it irks my nerve. Like,
yeah.
And then when you leave, you have an empty parking spot in front of you. And instead of you, like, pulling out, you'll back out.
Well, I understand. All right. I think this is what I was trying to get to. So I understand why somebody would back out of the parking slot, of the parking lot, of the parking space that they pulled into versus pulling all of you through, only because, especially if you had a mall, a very busy parking lot, like, it's not very safe to just pull all the way through. You know what I'm saying? Because somebody could be pulling in at the same time.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? So I understand that from a safety perspective. You know what I'm saying? But like, now that I think about it, I think I do pull through when I'm parking anyway. Because it just makes sense.
It's easier.
Now, I will say, it depends on the car you got, too. Because if you plan on putting stuff, if you got an SUV and you plan on putting stuff in the back of the SUV, it's easier to just not pull all the way through. Because when you lift up the gate, it's more room. You know what I'm saying? If you're back to back and you pull all the way through.
Yeah.
It's tougher to put stuff, or it's a tighter space.
I understand it.
You know,
I back. No matter where I'm at, I always back in.
You know what's. You know what's a pet peeve? And when, you know, to me, pet peeves are like things that most people don't think about. It just really like affects you for whatever reason.
Yeah.
What really affects me, something so small and so stupid, but it really irks my nerves when I go to a sink at anybody's house. It doesn't have to be my house.
Yeah.
Anybody's house. And the sponge in the sink is filled with water.
Look at my sponge.
Right. If I go to Wise, like, why is something, if I, you know, we having food or whatever, and I just choose to wash my dishes or whatever, I'm like it's, the water's just sitting there, and it's all cold, bro.
Yeah,
it needs to be a dry sponge. Yeah. I cannot stand I can't stand it, bro. I have to wring it out.
You know what really like gets to me, like when you open up gifts, whatever it is, styrofoam.
Uh huh.
Styrofoam. I can't hear it. Like, it hurts my ears
to hear styrofoam. Like, when you move it around, all that.
Oh, I can't do it.
Gab is like that with a fork and silverware on like plates.
Yeah. Ooh.
On a.
See, that don't bother me though.
The sound.
Yeah.
It's kind of like chalkboard. People say it's the sound of fingernails on a chalkboard. Yeah. You kind of like feel it back here.
Yeah.
In your jaw.
See, that's what happened with styrofoam. Bro.
Yeah.
That's exactly.
You don't like it? Well, it used to be like that for me as a kid with balloons.
Ooh.
With people, all you hear. Weird rubbery balloon sound, bro. I couldn't stand it, bro. Couldn't stand it.
As a man, pet peeve, talking about being in the bathroom.
Oh hell!
You know, if it's plenty of stalls in the bathroom.
Yeah. Oh, in a male, like in a public bathroom.
In a public bathroom.
Yeah.
Don't come to the urinal next to me, bro.
Yeah, bro. See, because we're gonna get into a certain conversation a little bit later, but. This is not that. I think this is just general, like, unspoken man code.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't care what side of the aisle you on. I don't care how you identify. Like, bro, you a man, I'm a man. Hey, why are you standing next to me? Next to me. It's like 5-10 stalls
or
urinals right here. You know, like, I don't need, can I have some privacy?
A little bit of privacy.
Just a little bit. I know it's public, but can I have some privacy?
Just a little bit. So going back into another conversation that we've had before, when you're getting off on the highway.
Oh, yeah. The merge. All right, y'all. So those y'all watching, listening right now, so let's say you, people watching out right now and listening, you are about to get on the highway and you're merging onto the highway. And you got somebody like me who's in the far right lane. Maybe I'm about to get off on the exit because most of the time I'm in the left lane anyway. Because it's always people getting on and off on the right lane because I need to get to where I'm going. That's neither here nor there. But what I'm saying is, if I'm about to get off, is it my job to let you on, or is it your job to, you know, figure it out? It's not like I'm not letting you in, but if I'm going 75 miles per hour or whatever, or 70 or whatever. I shouldn't have to slow down or speed up just to let you in, brother. You're a grown person who has a license just like I do. You should know how to merge into a highway.
It's common courtesy.
I don't believe in that, bro. I don't believe in that.
Just go ahead.
Ooh, I got another. Oh, go ahead, man.
Just either slow down or speed up or merge left.
Got me spending waste of my gas trying to speed up. Using my gas. You know what I'm saying? But no, speaking of driving on the road, another pet peeve of mine is when people ignore the rules, the actual rules of the road.
What you mean?
When you come to a four-way stop, what is your understanding of what to do at a four-way stop in North Carolina? I can't speak for any other state.
The person to the right has the right-of-way.
The person, whoever gets there first.
Oh, yes. Who gets there first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, who gets there first.
But if four people come at a stop, simultaneously, you go to the right.
Yeah, person to the right.
Now. Let's say three people come to a four-way stop, right? And you all get there at the same time. Or even four people. Really don't matter. At some point, somebody got to go. That's a pet peeve of mine.
So the person that's going straight has the right-of-way. Yeah.
You can't determine that. Because everybody, if you're turning, everybody don't use their signal.
That's what I'm talking about. You got to use the signal. So you're ignoring the rules. So
that's the kind of adds to it.
So the person going straight, it has the right of way. The person,
and whoever goes first, you go right after that first person goes, then you go to the right.
Yeah,
until you know
everybody. That's it. Yeah,
yeah. But in general, ignoring the regular rules of the road, because to me, when you ignore the rules of the road, and then generally speaking in life, people are like, yeah, rules are made to be broken, but not on the road though.
Nah.
Because that's how niggas get in car accidents. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, like, I be breaking the rules sometimes too, though.
What you mean?
Hey, man, they ain't got no rules of going 100 miles an hour.
I ain't talking about speed limits, man. I think that's different. Hey. That's different.
And for the record, because I know a few people going to be watching, why are you doing 100 miles an hour? I've only done that, you know, whenever I drive the Mustang.
At 6 feet? 6 feet.
6 feet, yeah.
The joke be.
Yeah, so. And then don't let nobody come up beside me and want to race. So,
why?
I be chilling in the Mustang.
They see us. They see a younger guy in a sport, in a muscle car.
No, it's just that community.
The muscle or the sports car community, whatever you want to call it.
So whenever you see somebody, you want to see
you had that look. You look over, you like
you want to see how yours stand up against theirs.
That's fair.
So
I get it.
Like you.
Yeah, I can't relate because I ain't got no muscle car, but I understand. Yeah. If I had one, I probably would.
You get you one, man. Your uncle got that M3.
Hey man, that thing's smooth too.
Yes sir.
That thing is smooth. But yeah, bro. Like ignoring the general rules of the road. People using manners on the road. Oh, you go ahead. Come on. You go. I'm like, no, bro.
No, sometimes you do have to be.
No,
you gotta be aggressive.
Aggressive. I'm a very defensive driver. But in terms of like people just like, oh, no, you can go ahead. It's like, no, bro. You go because you have the right of way.
You have the right of way.
Now, we sit here trying to figure it out, and then both of us pull up at the same time, and then we hit each other. Then what?
Somebody got to hit the brakes.
My point is, stop ignoring the rules of the road, people. That's all I'm saying.
I got you.
Yeah.
I got you.
Any more pet peeves?
I got a ton, but we're going to be here all night.
Yeah, we can. We can.
So
next hot take.
Yeah. Next hot take, we're going to talk about the queen passing away.
Queen passing. How you feel about it?
I don't have no feelings towards it, bro.
I feel you, bro.
This is not a test. It's the real deal.
I don't have no feelings.
I'm good, bro. Like, and the people are like, oh, you should feel. Like, people die every day, B. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like. She's nobody special to me. Now, another soapbox of mine is America, mm-hmm. air quotes, as in
touch on it now.
Wahite people, their obsession with the English monarchy. Mm-hmm. That's probably another pet peeve. I know it's another hot take, but that's a pet peeve of mine too. Like the obsession, especially from the media. Like it's annoying, bro. I was like, bro, I thought we
got away from
it. We got independence. Yeah. Like, what is the obsession?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now, when you dig a little bit deeper, I understand the obsession from America.
Yeah.
You know, I understand because, and I was talking about before, like, the best thing I can compare for African Americans or black folk in America is Black Panther. And you're like, what you mean, B? This is what I mean. It's not I want to say it's across the board comparison, but it makes sense when I explain it. So you think about, okay, colonization of United States or of this land, mm-hmm. would turn into the United States of America. And then we seceded from Great Britain, mm-hmm. British rule, got our independence. But at the end of at the core, white people and anybody, black people too, we understand that there's a ancestral cultural aspect.
They got a chokehold on it.
Yeah, and I understand it because
not us, them.
Yeah, them. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's a pet peeve of mine. But like, I understand it only from the sense of when Black Panther first came out.
Yeah,
black people was losing their mind in a good way.
In a good way.
In a good way. Yes. Yo, we felt proud of our ancestral mm-hmm. culture, mm-hmm. right? It was the first time, to my knowledge, where there was a majority black cast mm-hmm. centered around a fictional. African nation, mm-hmm. and we were shown as not just royalty, but just like a thriving, happy. You know, any nation's gonna have issues, but
what we were before,
yeah, for colonization,
came and took over.
Yeah.
So that depiction, where it's not the and to elaborate a little bit further, what you're saying, it wasn't the first time where. It was an all black cast. But to dive deeper into what you're saying, all black cast where the positivity and the outlook of what we were, that's the first time that was, just for, the breakdown.
There were your standard stereotype in Hollywood. It was totally different.
Yep.
Now, obviously, Marvel and the MCU, if y'all are into that, you understand it was the first of its kind. Because, Blade was a character, but in terms of, again, majority black cast centered around a fictional, mm-hmm. fictional African nation that thrived and was, scientifically ahead of the whole world.
Yep.
It made you as a black person.
Because we were.
Yeah.
We were.
Yeah.
We were ahead of.
Yeah.
In what a lot of individuals.
Yeah.
What a lot of other countries, nations were at that time.
Yeah. Culture. Yeah, for sure. Yes. Yeah. And that's a whole nother conversation.
Yes, sir. We'll
probably dive into in the future. But yeah, that to me the obsession with the British monarchy was it's kind of like Like every time I see you, I got Hulu, so I'm scrolling to Hulu. What I'm gonna watch today? And I see all this stuff popping up with Queen. I'm like, bro, nigga, she not my queen, bro. Queen is right here in the kitchen.
Yes, sir.
You feel me? You know what I'm saying? So it's like, bro, like, yeah, I'm good, bro. I'm good.
I don't know the in depths of how, you know, it's structured there.
What makes
the queen, and then going down, you got different.
I don't know the terms.
I'm sorry.
You got the general, the king, queen, prince.
Yeah, prince.
Now, what I didn't know for a long time. I was probably like 25 years old when I realized. Let's say, and this is not really about them, just in general, king. From the English perspective, when like in this case where we are now in history, where queen dies, and oldest sibling or oldest child
okay
becomes the monarch, the head or whatever. Right. So in this case, it's now he's King
Charles,
right? Yep. Yeah, King Charles or whatever. I don't know. He's one of them fourth, fifth, whatever. I don't know which one he is, but King Charles. His wife is not the queen. It's queen consort. I don't know what it means, but in terms of title, she's not the quote unquote queen of England now.
So
he's the king. But his wife wouldn't be the queen.
So I think
that's how I understand. I could be wrong.
In reference to like documentaries, that's the only reason I would even watch one is to fully get an understanding of, you know, how it breaks down. Not because I'm
It's just
intrigued about it. Mm-hmm. I want clarification.
Understanding. Yeah, that's fair.
Of what it is that how they are structured.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily care. I don't have an obsession with, you know.
Because people die every day. So let's say, I don't know, the king of some random, not even Africa, like another European nation.
Yeah.
I don't know, Romania.
We got a lot of kings dying in Africa. Or do we get the same?
What I'm saying, when one of them die, we don't know about it.
We don't know about it.
Why is that? Because it's not our nation, bro. So like, what's the difference? Yeah. What makes Britain
and
the exception?
They are wealthy too.
Yeah,
they got sons that are princes that are coming.
Yeah,
into, you know, king statue.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But why aren't we knowing about it? We've been talking about this since Thursday. It's all over,
bro. When I say it's documentary from like 2018 on Hulu, just like popped up on my little, for you, whatever.
Now, Prince, is it Henry? What's Meghan's husband?
It's Harry. And it's Harry. He's the redhead one, right? The younger one.
Yeah.
Meghan Markle. Yeah.
Yeah. I would love to get more in depth about because she's African American.
Yeah.
So
her mom is black, dad white, right?
I think yes.
Yeah. And she's American too.
Yeah, she's American. So I would definitely love to know more about that.
And a lot of people that I've talked to in my family are like, I follow at least Harry and Meghan because Meghan is an American and she had black.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm intrigued or something new or different.
I definitely would love to know more about that. So if y'all can, if y'all follow Meghan and Harry, definitely hit us in the comments and, tell us where to start.
Yeah. What do you mean? Like where to start?
Like how do we,
I don't want to start. That's my point.
I'm talking about just for her.
Oh, okay.
I would love to know, because I only thing I know is basically what I see.
That's what I'm saying. Like all the stuff that I just rattled off, I know because it's thrown in your face.
Yeah. So I would just.
So unless you live under a rock, you wouldn't know,
And I just would like to know, how did, they met, now that they are.
I am curious, though. How did that happen? I never thought about that. So like, I was an American. She was like an actress. For what I understood,
I don't know her background.
Yeah, I think she was like an actress of some sort.
So,
I don't know if she did movies or just like, I don't know what she did, but I know she was in Hollywood.
Yeah, okay. So
from what I understood,
So how did they meet? How did they?
How do you get on with an English prince?
Yeah. So
you know what I'm saying?
As far as that's where I would like to uncover something like that.
Yeah.
Because,
that's interesting.
Yeah.
We'll see a documentary in about 10-15 years. Of like how
and then Princess Diana. I know she was very, very.
Yeah.
For the people, from what I've
she seemed very
down
to earth. Yeah. From what I understand, because we grew up in the '90s, so really my main memory of her is when she died.
Yeah,
it was a big deal.
Yeah,
you know, because again, it was thrown in our face.
And that's their, and that's their son. That's her sons.
Yeah, Harry. That's their, yeah, that's, yeah, their son. So yeah. I would love Harry to. And the, what's the older brother's name? I can't remember his name. He's the next one up. He's behind his dad. He's the next one up, from what
just,
I understand.
We just said it, bro. Charles.
His name is Charles?
I think so.
No.
Oh, it's not?
No, the queen's son is becoming the king. His sons are Harry and, what, oh, is it Philip?
Bro, I don't know, bro.
That's what I'm saying. My point is, I'm proving my own point, but at the same time, I'm contradicting myself because it's like, I'm rattling up all the stuff that I know. I'm not 100%. But again, it's thrown in our face. You know what I'm saying? But from the media. So I was like, man, I'm tired of this, bro.
Correct us. I know a lot of y'all may or may not know what we're discussing. So we're not experts on this. We're not claiming to be experts on nah. this. We don't follow the queen. We just, yeah. It's in our face. So correct us, get us straight, you know, point us in the right direction when it comes to Harry and Meghan. Me personally, I would love to know more about her and how she has become, you mm-hmm. know, who she is, yeah. and into marrying Harry.
All right, cool. So we're gonna dive into the main topic of the day, which is the actual, I guess, official title will be All Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. I think it's a very layered conversation.
Yes, sir.
Ooh, excuse me. Long day. I think it's a very late conversation. It can go in a lot of different directions, okay. A lot of different pockets. But just for starters, for those of you who really are not familiar with the term, which, you know,
you may not be.
What, from your perspective, in your opinion, what is
Black Lives Matter?
Yeah, start with Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter. To me, what it means to me is, you know, we went through it. Currently, still in the past, currently, and will in the future, be targeted, you know, by racism.
Yeah.
So, you know, and where, you know,
we're not just by the police. Just to be clear. Yes. This is life.
Life. yeah. Be targeted through racism for the pigmentation of our skin.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, where we're crucified and executed for whatever thought or mm-hmm. you that. This individual may have in their mind that you have committed either a crime or just for the sake of doing everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
And the death and the killing of African-Americans and people, brown minorities, yeah. you know, they're killed, slain, executed, however you want to put it, they are no longer here on earth.
Yeah.
And the same treatment that's being given to, you know, people of, you know, white pigmentation mm-hmm. isn't the same treatment that we're getting.
Yeah.
You know, individuals can go out and, you know, murder individuals at a school. They can go out and yeah. kill people at a grocery store, at churches.
And get less time in jail for niggas selling weed in a lot of cases.
The fact of the matter is they actually get a trial.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big difference.
Yes, so they yeah. get they are given a trial versus yeah. you know selling cigarettes,
yeah.
you know, versus having a bag of Skittles, you yeah. know, versus jogging,
yeah.
Where all these cases have been resulted in a murder.
Just playing with I forgot what the boy's name was. Was it Rice? No, it was a younger kid. Remember he had this toy gun?
Yeah, absolutely. So
like playing with a toy gun in your own yard.
Boom. Tamir Rice.
Tamir Rice. Was it Tamir Rice?
Yep.
Okay.
So just you know, all these yeah. you know different cases. So Black Lives Matter to me means like my life matters
yeah.
as much as these other lives matter.
Yeah.
You know, I want to live. I want to, you know, continue being here on earth. You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to die for the color of my skin.
Yeah.
To me, that's what Black Lives Matter mean.
Yeah. To me, I mean, you kind of hit a lot of different points or a lot of good points. To me, it's just an outcry because we've seen otherwise. Mm-hmm. So it's just like for the same reason why HBCUs exist.
Yep.
Right. They exist. And if y'all don't know, HBCUs, historically black colleges, and university and or universities they exist, because black folk couldn't go to
predominantly white schools
or white schools. You know what I'm saying? So that's why they exist. So for the same reason people are yelling and screaming Black Lives Matter, so we've seen that, you know, or the system has shown us that our lives do not matter.
Yep.
So it's an affirmation. That's how I look at it.
So, you know, just to correct my last statement, I said to HBCUs was created because we couldn't get in white schools. Mm-hmm. I stand corrected. We couldn't get in schools, period.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were not allowed to go to, we were not allowed to have higher education.
Yeah. It was definitely now a lot of people, conservative people, they would argue, oh, it was a class thing. It's like, nah, bro, these rules existed because of what people deemed appropriate for a specific group of people.
Why do you think segregation?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Come on.
Right. Now, yeah, were there some poor white people in black neighborhoods? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I mean, you know, that
they still had better privileges.
Yeah, they still had privileges because they had white skin.
So when we say, you know, Black Lives Matter, you know, that is what it means. And if we can get into a different topic, a different conversation.
Yeah.
We can unlayer it today.
Yeah, for sure.
It was the outcry of now Blue Lives Matter. All lives matter, you know, where it's, you know, people of not understand. I don't know if it was pure ignorance.
Well, I think that's number one. It's always pure ignorance, in my opinion. But sometimes there are people that inform that they make a choice.
Yes.
Yeah.
And where, you know, now they're feeling like Black Lives Matter is an exclusion from any other race.
Yeah.
And it's not.
Yeah.
It was a mere saying, hey, yo, my life matters too. Not more than your life.
Again, going back to HBCUs, you know, we went out of our ways to create these schools and opportunities for ourselves because
we didn't have that choice.
Yeah, we kind of took it. We got it from the mud. So, like, again, it's an affirmation. Because we've been shown otherwise. We've been shown we couldn't go to these schools.
Yep.
We've been shown we couldn't get certain opportunities.
Yep.
We've been shown, you know, we're not going to get paid as much.
Yep.
So
what do we do?
What do? We create our own table. Tyler Perry said, he's like, yo,
I no longer desire to be at your table.
Yeah, I'm
going to create my own table.
Yeah.
I'm going to, this land that I bought, it was once a slave plantation. So now that land that was created, it is where it had 500 slaves, is now owned by one slave.
Fire.
Basically what Tyler Perry said.
Yeah.
So just to, you know, piggyback to this, you know, individuals keep talking about, you know, blue lives, you know, all lives. You're now failing to realize exactly, you're really proving our point and what we're trying to you know, say with this statement, this movement. Yeah. I say statement, so I belay my last.
Well,
this movement.
Yeah, it started as, I think from what I understand, it started as an outcry, as a statement.
Yes.
But then it obviously turned into an actual and official organization and a movement. And we all know kind of what, specifically most of us know about, you know, when George Floyd got killed. And that was a, you know, during the height of the pandemic, it was a, I mean, that's going to be in the history books. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was obviously it wasn't long ago, but it was a very, very, like, you can see, like, yo, this is, like, very reminiscent of, like, you know, what black folks were going through in the civil rights era, where, like, you know, police and dogs, and you see all these old film, and it's like, when you fast forward 15, 20 years from now, you're going to see all the protests, all the signs, all the police standoffs, all the everything that was going on during that time and the pandemic at the same time. And it's kind of crazy to think about it.
There's a photographer, and I'm going to draw a connection here in a second. There's a photographer, I think she actually shot some of Carrie's training before. And she actually went to a protest and captured a mother holding her child as she's crying, as she's pouring down emotions. She captured that picture of that moment of the black lady holding her child.
Yeah.
And that picture, it went extremely viral. I can't think of her name.
I probably seen it. I probably saw it at some point.
Oh man, it'll come to me in a second. But it really just, you know, that movement was monumental.
Yeah.
It was historic.
Mm-hmm.
And that picture, along with so many other, you know, pictures, mm-hmm. that was depicted in that time, is gonna be in, you know, if not history books, it's gonna be a museum.
Yeah,
it's gonna
for
be
sure.
documented.
Yeah.
It's gonna be,
yeah.
because, you know, that was the breaking point of our mm-hmm. generation. Rodney King.
Yeah. yeah.
Rodney yep. King was the breaking point for mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. 80s.
Yeah. What are you talking about? Yeah, because they're talking about the LA riots.
I've
been watching a documentary on it, and I was like, yo, I really had no idea. Because when you grew up in the 90s, as a kid, you don't see everything.
Yep.
You hear things, but you don't really put it into perspective. Like, okay, this is what it actually was. When I watched the documentary, I was like,
wow,
yo, they went off.
So, you know,
they went off.
So we had that, had that, you know, moment, and which was historic.
Yeah.
And then, you know, this right here, you know,
that was another moment.
Another
for sure,
moment
in history,
yeah. where, you know, we're tired.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so to go back to, you know, the topic.
Mm-hmm.
All Black Lives Matter.
Yeah. And what, just to be clear, when we say all Black Lives, there's a lot of people who have this idea of the box that everybody's supposed to
mm-hmm.
fit in.
Mm-hmm.
So when we say all Black Lives, what are you, when you say Black Lives, when y'all watching, or I mean, when you're saying it for yourself, who are you actually talking about? Are you just talking about, you know, people in your small group of everyday yeah. friends and family? Like, are you just talking about church people? Are you just talking about Christians? Are you just talking about Muslims? Are you yeah. just talking about people in a certain tax bracket? Like, who are you talking about? Because when you say Black Lives Matter, it should mean all Black Lives matter. You know what I'm saying?
No matter what you look like on the outside.
Yeah, no matter how you choose to live your life. If you are a law-abiding citizen, bro, like, and even if you're not a law-abiding, and that's my point. It's
you're
like
still Black.
You still Black, and you're still a human, and yep. you still have rights, bro. Like, you know, you still have rights. So, like, getting into the conversation, talking about all Black lives, to me, what sits at the top of the list of that, a lot of people seem to kind of put this group of people off to the side, is the LGBTQ
yeah.
plus community.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and I feel like, as you know, us as Black men, I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about that.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because we know homophobia runs yeah. rampant in society in general, but yeah. specifically even inside of the Black community. And we can, you know, from the woman's perspective, that's obviously we know it exists, but from the Black male perspective, we know homophobia, you know,
yeah.
runs rampant. You know, we talk about in music and culture,
mm-hmm.
and as you've seen, you know, breakthroughs in different ways,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have to, like, for example, Lil Nas X, like, you don't have to rock with him.
Yeah.
Like, we don't, do you rock with every rapper?
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, do you rock with every singer?
No.
Right. It's like, you don't have to rock with him, but I still can't appreciate what he represents to this group of people.
Yeah, yeah.
You see what
yeah.
I'm saying? Like, again, all Black Lives Matter. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that's where I'm at on it, in terms of just people living their life, you know, who are Black.
Yeah.
You know, you deserve protection. You don't not deserve protection because you don't fit into this box.
And I think it's so layered.
Yeah,
it's so yeah. layered. Like, so breaking off to this box in which you're speaking of,
mm-hmm.
right? I think society has created that box.
White men have created that box. Heterosexual white men,
yes,
have created that box. So obviously, white supremacy is here,
mm-hmm.
and then the whatever is outside of straight heteronormative white male, you know, kind of goes in layers. You're
yes.
talking about women, you're talking about Black women, white women, you know, no particular order, but I'm sure there is a particular order and hierarchy,
yeah.
but you understand what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that box has been created, and I think it's been subjective. If you're Black, whether, and I'm going to bring it full circle.
Mm-hmm.
It's been, that box has been subjective, whether you're Black. If you fit this criteria and that they have created,
yeah.
your life matters as a Black man, or as a black individual.
So I would say an example of that. So an example of, I feel like what you're talking about are like the exceptional Negro. So I've heard Spike Lee mention this in terms of film and movies. But
yes.
in real life, to me, the exceptional Negroes are the ones that we idolize. So the LeBron James of the world, the Michael Jacksons, the people who made it out, who are exceptional for, clearly they're exceptional. They're gifted people in whatever they do. You know, they make a lot of money, and we, and society idolizes them. So
yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, but no.
Okay.
So let's break it down a little bit further.
Okay.
Let's break it down to everyday people like me and you.
Mm-hmm.
This, in this box, individuals that, college athletes like yourself.
Yeah.
You know, when you went to NC State, you played at NC State. How many social, how many white men did you meet that really came up to you and it gave you?
Listen.
I know what you're saying.
What I will say is, majority of these white men that took a liking to me.
Yes, that's basically what I'm trying to say.
You know what I'm saying? Or were fascinated. Like, bro, it's
fascination.
Bro,
that's what I'm trying to say.
To this day, bro, it's somebody I'm working with right now. I ain't gonna say his name, obviously, but he's real cool. But when they hear my name, and just to be clear, guys, like, when you have specifically white men are sports. When you talk about sports fanatics, bro, mm-hmm. it's a different level of fanaticism that white men just like. In levels, like, black dudes love sports. We love to talk about it. We argue about it. But in terms of fanaticism, dudes go hard, bro.
Understandable.
So when you go to a local university like what I did, I went to a local university, North Carolina State University, and, you know, you're playing a big revenue sport, whether it's basketball or football.
Mm-hmm.
These white guys are obsessed with recruiting, with everything that goes into the program. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So when they hear my name, they're like, did you play for NC State? I'm like, well, at once upon a time. I'm not the guy that just walks around. Utilize. Hey,
yeah.
I played for NC State. Like, that's not me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Even if my career turned out to be what I wanted it to be,
right.
I still wouldn't be that guy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But the level of fanaticism is ridiculous.
So
bro.
Let's
crazy.
So
yeah,
just go back into that box.
Yeah.
You know, you being a black male, mm-hmm. you fit into that.
Yeah,
that box.
Otherwise, they wouldn't be talking to me.
They wouldn't be talking to you.
Yeah.
You know, and then break that down in a little bit further.
Mm-hmm.
Corporate America.
Oh,
how do you as a black male fit inside that box that had been created?
Now, I will be honest. I'll be completely honest because this is a gentleman's guy, and I feel like, you know, being honest is and keeping it real is something that we, you know, I strive to do on this platform. I will say so. speaking again about white guys and fanaticism, so. The CEO of the company that I used to work for pre-pandemic, he was a huge sports fan
mm-hmm.
from the Boston area. Huge sports fan. Now, when I find my in, I find my in.
Okay.
Sports was my in. I was like, oh, you a sports fan? Bet. I'm going to play that up because I'm trying to get this money.
I understand.
You can call it what you want. But, hey, I got a family to support. You gonna, once you find your end with whoever got pulled.
Yeah.
In this case, it was a small startup company.
Yeah.
He was a CEO. Why wouldn't you? And then naturally, he's going to have questions.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to come up. We talk about sports eventually. At some point, either he going to lick me up or I'm just going to mention it because it's just, like, natural. We talking about college sports. We in the Raleigh area. College sports are huge in this area. So
it worked in your favor?
Yeah, it worked in my favor.
Okay.
Yeah. I had the audacity to write my boss an email and copy him on it. It's like, yo, this is why I deserve a raise in a promotion. And they gave me a promotion.
Yeah. So
you know what I'm saying?
Just to go back to basically what I'm saying is when it comes to like Black Lives Matter and all Black Lives Matter, what I'm trying to say is it's if you fit in this box that have been created,
mm-hmm.
then the individuals that created this box, if you fit into their criteria,
mm-hmm.
your life matter to them.
Yeah, that's fair.
And if you don't, then it's all lives matter.
No, you're right. You're right.
So that's basically what I was saying. Yeah. You know, when it comes to like everyday individuals mm-hmm. like you and I, that box that has been created, mm-hmm. you know, they now put you inside of it.
Yeah.
And now we can, you know, when they speak on, you know, Black Lives Matter. Oh, you're included in that.
Yeah.
You're included in this. And we care about you.
Yeah.
We care about you.
Right.
Now, you know, if they don't know me and I'm not inside of that box, but I'm directly
mm-hmm.
associated with you outside of that I'm also directly associated with you.
Right, exactly.
Because of the color of my skin, mm-hmm. my life should matter. But to them, since I'm outside of that box, because I don't have a direct association to NC State or something that they can be a fanatic or obsessed about,
yeah.
then I'm not in that box.
Yeah.
I'm not in yeah. their cool black
basically,
person.
Yeah, what you're saying is I checked off an exception box.
Exactly.
Because, you know, the exception is, again, you kind of defy. Now, sometimes the exception is, like in my case, it was I played at a Division I institution. Mm-hmm. I was an athlete. That was my exception. But sometimes the exception is based on, like, a negative thing or a negative stereotype. So, like, yeah. when you talk clearly, ooh, you talk so well.
Or you talk so white.
Yeah, you talk so white. Or, you know, you pronounce your words or you don't use slang. Like, most of the time, niggas is code switching. You yeah. know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like,
so, and
you
know. And that's. Oh man, this can get
very, go ahead. What were you saying?
I said, it can get very, very layered when you talk about you know proper either etiquette or
yeah.
Pronunciation of words
yeah.
and articulation of what it is that you
yeah.
Do. I don't think it's code switching. I don't think it's I can see where you're. I can see why you say that.
Mm-hmm.
If I've done my due diligence
mm-hmm.
to get a higher education,
right?
And now with that higher education, I've now expanded my vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
I pay for those words that I now learn and know how to use.
Yeah.
Essentially,
yeah,
I pay for that.
Yeah,
the way I think is now a little bit different. So how I yeah. use words,
your perspective is going to change the more you learn. Changed. I mean, that's just
that natural. doesn't make.
Make you less black.
Less black.
Yeah.
It just makes me
yeah.
a little bit more aware.
Yeah.
It just my vocabulary is a little bit yeah.
And you move different. Your choices are going to be changing.
And that's it.
Yeah.
So
because there's on the flip side, there's a lot of times where a lot of black people, and I've experienced it for myself because I didn't grow up. And I really can speak for both of us. We didn't grow up with. Silver spoons at our
absolutely
mouth.
Absolutely not.
You know what I'm saying? But we didn't grow up in the hood either.
No.
You know what I'm saying? So when you meet people who grew up, in larger cities, let's say I got some family up north, you got family in different mm-hmm. different major cities, and or not just family. When you meet people from these big cities, like mm-hmm. from New York, Jersey, whatever, I don't know if it's the way I just naturally carry myself. I don't know. But like they how do I put it, bro? Like I got like natural, I don't know if it was like resentment or they did like, it's the same thing where they, you talk white. It's like, nah, bro. Like they never told me I talk white, but in terms of just how I can, you get vibes from people because for whatever reason, he's not like me for whatever reason.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm naturally going talk about my life. Well, yeah. When I was back in college, so-and-so. And if you get offended by me saying when I was back in college, that's not me. That's your insecurity.
So your insecurity.
You know what I'm saying? But go ahead.
I'm just gonna.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Your life still matters.
Yeah, for sure. Because yeah, and that's the point.
And their life still matters.
Yeah, it's not like, and it's not even a still. It's like your life matters. Period. It's not still.
Regardless of yeah. how I talk, regardless of how you talk,
mm-hmm.
regardless where of where you're from,
yeah,
your life still matters.
Regardless of who you want to have sex with, like regardless of
none
what
of
religion
matters.
you claim. What set you claim?
None of that matters.
Bro, your life matters.
And I think we, sometimes we.
What denomination? Because
that's a big one. I'm Christian, but Kojic, I'm Baptist.
I'm Kojic, I'm Baptist. Go ahead. Yeah. I wish Rod was here. He could dive into it. Because Rod went to school for all that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Brother Gerard, yeah, man. Pastor Gerard.
Get Bishop on him.
You know what? I just talked to him the other day. He definitely said he wanted to be on the podcast when he come down. I literally just talked to him the other day.
I mean, we obviously can make it happen.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Yeah, man. And I think what we have to do as a black society, a black community, not society, a black community,
yeah.
we really have to do a better job of, inclusion
yeah.
of all life matters.
Yeah. Now, this is a very small thing, but I think it's big and it's very indicative of like where we are as a society or community. Something very small, but we hear it all the time as black men.
Mm-hmm.
The pause game.
Pause. Oh.
yeah. So, and I was talking about this with Gab earlier. I was like, I said,
"Boy, you made me."
He like,
what? 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 Bro, what are you talking about?
What? Then when I said it, then when I said it out loud, Paul.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. But that's like, to me, and we're all guilty of it. Like, I feel like we've said it on the podcast before. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just like something that we're used to doing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But it would be, I think it's very important to acknowledge mm-hmm. that one, we ain't nobody perfect. You know what I'm saying? But two, we all trying to learn, bro. We all trying to, you know, be more, I wouldn't even say inclusive, but just like more knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And more respectful. You know what I'm saying? So like, again, I remember back in, I want to say early, mid 2000s, where I remember you start seeing these commercials. I remember Grant Hill was on one of them. And he started talking about calling things gay as stupid. Mm-hmm. And you don't even really hear people say that anymore, do you?
No.
I feel like we used to say that all the time when we were kids. Stop being gay, bro. How we were taught.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not even really a part of my vocabulary anymore. And I don't mean that as like, oh, I'm better. It's like, no, I just thought about it. I was reflecting. I was like, I really don't talk like that anymore. So, you know what I'm saying?
I'm going to take this a lot deeper, too.
Go ahead.
And just show you how things have changed over time in, you know, vocabulary.
Yeah.
When you buy a house,
mm-hmm.
how do they describe the rooms?
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. So traditionally, master bedroom.
Master bedroom.
Now it's like owner suite or what's the John?
You can't even say the owner suite no more because owners is
linked it's to still slavery. Linked to what is it? I heard it.
Primary.
There you go. Primary bedroom. Primary bedroom. Bath. Yeah.
So you can't say that's true. They don't say his and her bath mm-hmm. or Jack and Jill. Sinks.
What is the term for that? I don't know that one.
You just have to say double vanity.
Interesting. Well,
because you can have
It could be Jack and Jack.
Exactly. No. That's it.
Jill and Jill.
Jill and Jill. His and hers. It could be his and his. Her and hers.
Yeah. Facts.
So you know when you talk about terms,
this language,
just language and verbiage
stuff we don't think about.
You think you don't now because we're changing how we you know we're changing how things are and appropriation. Mm-hmm. You know the appropriate terms. You know you could have. Like we just said, you know, you could have two black, males looking for a house, two black women looking for a house.
Facts.
And if they are offended by it saying, you know, his and hers, closet.
And
this is something that I just learned recently. Too.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
I just learned this.
No, recently. I'm aware of this and I'm fairly, I feel like, honestly, I feel like most of us is new to it, unless you're a part of that community.
Exactly.
If you fit into these heteronormative boxes, a lot of us are still, we learn it, but go ahead.
And you know, just talking about the, you know, as you were just saying, the Grant Hill, you know, commercials where, you know, those terms you don't use.
Saying gay is stupid is not cool. I remember and I was like, what this nigga talking about? Then you fast forward, I'm 32 now. I'm like, I get it now, bro. Like, I understand, like. And I never saw
the commercial.
I remember it was yesterday because it wasn't that long ago.
Okay,
but I'm pretty sure this is when he was still playing. He was like in Phoenix at this point, like in his career.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a whole campaign with the NBA. Like I remember this, bro. Mm. Yeah, I got to look it up and try to show you the video.
Yeah.
But going back to the pause game, you know, we still, at least to me, that's something that I still hear in most of black male spaces. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of times we try to put on so much for other dudes that it's like we don't want to look a certain way when it comes to like the proximity to gayness. Like it's a disease or something you're gonna catch because of how you say something.
Yeah.
And you see what I'm saying? Like
you're right. You're absolutely right. And what I think happens is and I'm not trying to justify it. I'm not saying there's no justification for it.
Go ahead.
You know, just, I think when it's said, pause, it's something I like, hey, bro, do you really hear what you just said? Like,
because, I mean, you can hear it in a different context. Like, if somebody heard it out of context, you're saying like, oh, somebody heard it the right way.
We got so many sound bites that are created.
I mean, It's always going to be like, oh, yeah, what about this? What about this? And that's the whole point of the game. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. So,
you know?
And again, not to justify it and try to, you know, belittle the community that, you know, you're trying to.
But again, going back to intention versus impact. So language has a big impact, and it perpetuates, you know, certain stereotypes or perceptions of a certain group of people.
Yeah.
When that happens, when language does what I just mentioned, that's when, okay, maybe you should sit back and reflect. So talking about the whole campaign with the NBA, and it was like, yo, saying gay as, you know, dumb or stupid, that's not cool.
Yeah.
And you, at least in my age group, I don't hear people say it. And I know we grown now, but still, like, I haven't heard that in a while. Kids, you know, kids going to be kids at the end of the day. But I think for me, the pause game, I think that's my next box to check off. Like, yo, I don't need to say pause, bro.
Yeah.
It's just like I had a realization like a few years ago. I was like, I don't need some type of protein or meat in every meal that I eat. Like, I could just not have, I could just eat beans, or, you know what I'm saying? You can eat meatless. Look, I set you up. Yeah, look, you see?
No, but I was about to say, I gotta have some type of protein.
Bro. No, but you see what I did there, right? That's my point. You see, it's hard.
I wasn't about to say pause.
I thought you were about to say pause.
I need to eat. I'm not about to eat beans and rice.
I mean, that's the
beans and rice, but I had chicken with it too, and I had meat. Yeah. But anyway,
yeah.
You trying to set me up?
You see what I'm saying? Though? That's what I was saying. I was like, I don't need meat in every meal.
See,
hey, bro.
You ain't shit.
Hey, I'm trying to put it to the test, bro.
Look.
Real talk though. On a serious note, you need people in your life to push you, bro. To push you. So I was pushing you, dog. It really ain't that hard not to say it, bro. But
I'm up here thinking like, nah, bro. I need to eat meat in my meals, bro.
Nah, man. I need
every meal. Mariah contested this, bro. Every meal, I
made some vegetarian meals that I was like, this is pretty good.
I can't go vegetarian, bro.
No, I'm not saying going vegetarian. I'm saying
I can't have a vegetarian meal.
Well, yes, you can, bro. Yes, you can.
Cereal.
What?
I made one pretty good vegetarian meal. Is most of the time you have some like rice or couscous or something like that, or some type of noodle, you know. But also, it was a coconut curry chickpea soup. It's pretty good. Very simple. You can Google it. It's a lot of different recipes.
Coconut curry
chickpea soup over rice. It's pretty good. And you could throw some meat in if you want to. Some type of marinated protein, chicken.
I need coconut curry chicken over rice.
You can do that too. Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Yeah. I mean, you can do that. That's what I'm saying.
And I seen the meal you made last night too. It looked good.
I made, so I got this jerk seasoning. It's called, speaking of black, we talking about black businesses. It's called, dang, bro. I can't remember the name of the jerk. It's, I think it's All, but it's like, yes, I know it now. It's called All. A-L-L is the acronym for A Little Love. Seasoning. It was a guy that Gab used to work with back in the day, and he still does, like, you know, 9 to 5, which most entrepreneurs do, but he has his own seasoning line. I don't believe it's in stores, but it's called All A Little Love.
Okay.
All, A-L-L. And the jerk seasoning, I just threw it on some chicken thighs. I seared them in the pan, then I wrapped them up, threw them in the oven, made some broccoli, season that up well, and some rice, bro. Banging, bro.
Black man cook, man.
Hey, man, black man cook.
Black man cook.
I ain't gonna say I'm a chef, but
you're pretty damn good.
Now, bro. I was proud of.
I be seeing your stuff, bro.
I be seeing yours too,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, yeah.
What'd you just? You made some
red beans
and rice. Yeah, you did. Yeah. You need to have my empanadas too, bro. Ask Gerard and Drew about them.
I love empanadas, bro.
Ask Gerard and Drew about them.
Yeah.
And I don't even use beef. I use turkey, bro.
I use turkey. Yeah. I only use ground beef whenever I'm making burgers now.
True.
Anything that requires ground beef, like you can tacos, do turkey. Yeah. I do turkey meat with everything.
Yeah.
You can never taste the difference.
The only time I'll do like beef tacos when it's not ground beef, I'll do like steak.
Yeah.
Steak tacos. I'll cut it, you know, slice it up. But yeah. I forgot we kind of went off on a side note.
All Black Lives Matter.
All Black Lives Matter, man. That's what it is.
And
man.
And speaking of
respectability politics, that's really the big conversation. In terms of when we talk about all Black lives, like everybody, you know, if you don't fit into this what this heteronormative mm-hmm. box, this Christian box, this male box,
yeah,
this masculine male heterosexual box, you know, if you don't fit in, check off those boxes, your life still matters.
And, definitely.
And
your life still matters if you're incarcerated.
Yeah.
Your life still matters if, you know, you're on Section 8.
If you're on Section 8, you on them food stamps. I mean, bro.
Food stamps. Your life still matters if, you know, you have...
You a single parent.
Single mom, single dad.
Yeah.
As a black individual, your life still matters. And, you know, that's what we're really trying... This whole conversation is really about that, man. So we have to stop, you know, judging. We have to stop outcasting. We have to stop...
Yeah. There's a clip I wanted to play. And basically the guy is talking about... He's talking about, and I think we had this conversation off camera in the past, mm-hmm. talking about trying to understand somebody else, the way somebody else lives. Mm. It was like, remember, I was like, I don't know if you remember this, but I was like, bro, I said, you don't have to understand.
You don't have to understand.
You don't have to understand to acknowledge that this group of people is experiencing violence at all-time highs.
Yeah.
Suicides at all-time highs. Even within the community, specifically like trans people. Yeah. Like, I think that's the most quote-unquote misunderstood. But again, y'all, you don't have to understand some, you know, people's choices.
Yeah.
You don't have to understand how people choose to live, to acknowledge their humans.
It's been on comprehension, not compassion. So people will say, I don't understand. Why do you need to understand me in order to say that I shouldn't be experiencing violence? Like that equation we need to really interrogate. Like, what lack of empathy is there in that statement to be like, I just don't get it? What I don't get it becomes a shield for saying, I'm okay with you being exposed to violence. Wow. Mm-hmm. So we need to name that bluff out loud. It's never been about comprehension. It's been about compassion. Because here's the thing. You suddenly have the time to learn the things that you prioritize. But when it comes to gender nonconforming people, it's, I don't really have the time, that takes too much time. You don't have the compassion. Let's be honest.
What I will say is, not that I don't acknowledge their humanness, but I also try to understand.
And that's cool. Because most of the time, your heart is in the right place, and people know when you're genuine and when you're not.
So you know, things that I really don't understand, and I really will ask questions, mm-hmm. and I will say, like, I'm not trying to, like, you know, offend you, but I really
want to know. Yeah, like, this is not like me trying to poke fun at y'all. No, I'm really trying to understand.
I really want, and I've done that several times. Yeah. Like,
but even if you don't even if you don't want to understand, because trying to wrap your mind around another person's psyche. It'll never happen. You know what I'm saying?
For some people, it'll never happen.
You're right.
It'll never happen. You just can't fathom why they do the way they do. You'll never understand why a murderer, you know, decided to kill this individual.
Exactly.
And that's not for me to try to understand or get closure on that. Mm-hmm. So what happened? You live your life in jail, or if they give you the death penalty, whatever, mm-hmm. you got to live with that.
Yeah.
And for individuals that may not understand someone choosing their lifestyle, you know, if you don't decide to understand that, then so be it. Mm-hmm. You live in your truth and allow them to live in their truth.
Yeah.
But for people that really want to understand, have a conversation.
Yeah.
You know,
seek out. And this is thing that something that Gab mentioned to me is if you really want to learn, like, you ain't gotta go to some gay council or like, but just, there are plenty of people out here that you can follow on social media, right? You can study how they talk, like certain things, how they say certain things, going back to the conversation about language and like how we say certain things and how it kind of perpetuates certain stereotypes. That's one aspect that a lot of us struggle with. It's just like going to the pronoun conversation. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And that's what me and Gab were talking about earlier. It's like, again, trying to understand. You don't have to understand. You know what I'm saying? But you can still acknowledge. Respect. It's a respect thing, man. Like, how we use, and just to be clear, we use them and they all the time. Mm-hmm. We don't know somebody mm-hmm. or know how many. Mm-hmm. Or we don't. So when we say, trying to get like a context where, like, we're talking about one person, but we'll say they. Mm. I'm trying to, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, they said, because you don't know, like, if you're on the phone with somebody, right?
Yeah.
Customer service. A lot of times people will say, now, if you know it's a guy or girl, you'll say, you know, he, she,
yeah,
most of the time. But sometimes people will say, yeah, they said, they was like this, they was like that. We do it all the time. We just don't realize
it. We don't realize it.
You know what I'm saying?
Subconsciously. But,
yeah, subconsciously. I think a lot of times when people are told, you know, this is how I identify, you know, gender wise, or mm-hmm. these are my pronouns.
Right.
For whatever reason, people get offended. And I've been guilty of it in the past.
Right.
Now I've kind of, you know, again, nobody's a finished product. Like, nothing's ever complete. So, like, we're ever learning. Right. Mm-hmm. So I know there's plenty of, well, I don't know, but I've seen like plenty of a lot of like Big Frida, for example. Mm-hmm. I want to say she, but I'm not totally sure how to what to call Big Frida. But what I do know is I saw she was in an interview, or what was that show when they like went back to college? You know what I'm talking about?
I don't.
It was like a reality show. It was like Big Frida, Ray J, like it was some other folks. And basically Big Frida was having a conversation with another person, and you know, Big Frida been Big Frida forever. Yeah. So before this new, you know, pronoun stuff was going on, he's like, people call me what they call me according to our relationship.
According to our, and that's what I was just,
and I was like, okay, that makes sense. And the thing is, when you hear somebody like Big Frida explain that, that's not the same for every person in that community. Everybody's different.
I saw that. I just saw a clip.
It was a clip. Yeah, I saw that. Clip. I was like, that's.
And I don't know who. I forgot who she was. Who Big Frida?
Yeah.
So I apologize for that. You know, I forgot. I don't know who Big Frida was talking to, but you know, just based upon you know, Big Frida said, "Hey, when I'm in, when, because I've been around, you know, dope boys, my entire life,
yeah.
So you know, the dope boys would be like, you know, bro,
mm-hmm.
And you know, some of the sisters would be like, sis,
yeah,
you know, so
because that's my sis, that's my bro, that's my mom, that I'm her son, like,
yeah, yeah.
And it was never before what we know now,
but it's according to the relationship.
It's according to that relationship
that has been established.
Yeah, that's how she explained it. But yeah." Yeah, man, this was a fire conversation.
Yes, sir, bro.
We kind of touched on a lot of different things.
Yeah,
very layered, and you know,
our conversations are very layered.
Very layered, which is what I'm proud of. I'm proud of the product that we're putting out. We're not just like talking about surface level things. We're really diving a little bit deeper.
Yes,
and look, we ain't no psychologists. We ain't no professional. Nothing. We ain't credentialed. We just two regular black dudes talking.
And I think what I take pride in is how, quote unquote, regular we are, but how much substance and depth we attain. And, I won't solely attest that to having higher learning.
I would say it's
a combination of so many different things. Just
one,
you know, higher learning. Two, you know, just having a diverse network.
Yeah. I think that's the biggest.
That's the biggest. Now,
when you go to college or you know,
get that.
You get a bigger network, right?
Yes.
So that, I think, like what Drew mentioned in one of the previous episodes, it's like, it's not so much what I learned there, it's who I came in contact with.
Absolutely.
That created certain opportunities and created certain groups.
Yes, sir.
That I'm in now, you know?
So I'm super proud of, you know, just how, you know, because I get the comments too, man, like, look, this podcast was so good, man.
Yeah.
You know, y'all touched on a lot of things.
That's fire, man.
And I don't know if you get those, you know, comments.
I do. It's weird. It's weird because when you are creating content of any kind and you're putting it out there as a product, not for the sake of making money, because I'm just doing it because I love doing it.
Yeah.
But when you get people, you know, asking about the pod, I was like, yo, you rock with it,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Shout out to my boy, shout out to Justin Debner, man, aka the Soli Ghost, man. He shouted it out, and I was like, yo, I said, that's fire, bro. Yeah. Like, we obviously grew up in the same area, went to the same school at one point in time, and he was always a dope
dude
back in the day. And I somewhat recently reconnected with him. I know you kind of always been in contact with
right.
him. Shout out to the Soli Ghost, man. Fire R&B artists in the area.
And we're going to have you on soon.
Yeah, bro. We're going to have you on soon, bro.
We literally just talked about that.
Yeah.
We want to dive into everything you got going on.
Yeah, man.
Your music is, you know,
yeah.
so sold for another one that we got touched into is Lorenzo Carnegie.
He's
got a such a
he got a unique sound, man. I love his sound.
So we can have both of them on at the same time. For sure, that'll be dope.
Yeah, talking about when you just diving into as an artist and comes with that, and still trying to fit, get that the following and all that. That could be the next conversation we can have. We got to link up and make sure the schedules link up and make it do what it do.
Yes, sir. But yeah, man, another dope episode, man. Hope y'all enjoy it. What you got for them?
No, we good, man. That's it, man. That's it. We gonna chop it up next time. Appreciate y'all listening and watching. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Subscribe wherever you can listen to your podcast, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, if that's what you do. Stitcher. It's a lot of different platforms. You can go to the Gentleman's Guide .info. That's the website, current website. Man, hit us up, comment, like, share, subscribe, and we gonna see y'all next time. Appreciate you.
Peace.
Boom.